Today has been a day of challenges. Technical challenges, weather challenges, topsy-turvy world that we're living in has thrown every curveball at us, and we're swinging and missing.
When we first started this conversation, I heard a monsoon at your place.
Yes.
And now it's a sunny day. And in about a half hour, it'll be snowing.
Right. No, we having some technical difficulties this morning. And when we did the cold open before, I had a monsoon coming down, and that was a great way to start the show. The monsoon has since stopped to a trickle, so that was no longer appropriate.
You know what we're going to have to do, John? We're going to have to give everyone a monsoon of baseball knowledge.
That sounds good. You know, I definitely like the first time around better.
Yeah.
So if we could just replicate this, let's go Zen into a Zen moment and try to replicate.
Let's try to do it again, because I did this weather's been so crazy, right? Here in New York, it was like 100 degrees
right.
a week ago, and now it's like 60 and sort of rainy and drizzly. You've got a monsoon. It's like the movie The Day After Tomorrow, except it's like the sequel. It's like yesterday. Doesn't quite work this way, does it?
No, when you're trying to remember it, it's that kind of like
I mean, I guess there's a way I could have sold it, I guess, but I think there was just sort of that natural way that a joke like that flows out that's always
right.
very
it's just it's yeah. Because you know, folks, this is an unscripted show.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that we know we have notes about what we're going to talk about, but
we don't have notes about the notes.
No notes about the notes. Usually our professionalism ends at writing a list.
Yes.
And that
most of the story research we've done is read the headline.
Read the headline, and occasionally while we're talking about it, look something up if we need to verify something.
Yeah. So. Or if something just seems whack. Like,
yeah. Just
wait a second.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, are we right? Yeah, we're right. And most of it has to do with me mispronouncing words and names.
You know what? It's my favorite part of the show, John.
But, you know, let's get back into the flow. So what the one thing that always gets us back into the flow of the show is this is Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is episode 78 of Foul Territory, the Julio Urias episode, because there were only four people to ever wear number 78 in Major League Baseball. And three of the four had negative wars. And they were like probably September call-ups.
But aren't all wars negative, John? Does that joke sound familiar, John? Aren't all wars negative? You may remember that joke from 15 minutes ago when I said it naturally.
No, but the Urias is the only player. I think all four of these guys were September call-ups in the years that they were called up, and all of them have been the only players to wear number 78 are in post-2000.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we're coming up on episode 80. We will have the no-name episode because not a single player in the history of baseball has worn number 80.
I love the 80s, man.
Should we get into some baseball?
Let's do it.
Okay. So one of the things I have to say is we had a little bit of a delay last week. So that was due to me having
volumes. We just skipped last week, John.
Yes, we did. And we're early this week, so.
We're early this week, but we skipped last
week. Last week, yeah. So we're catching up a little bit. So there will be a little.
Did I tell you I might be moving to San Francisco?
No. Are you serious?
No, this is the thing. You and I aren't just like corporate stooges who like
no, we're not.
Do a podcast in our spare time. Like, we are jet setters. We are movers and shakers. And sometimes we move and we shake to Mexico. Sometimes we move and we shake to Los Angeles. And there's a 50% chance I'm moving and shaking to San Francisco.
Is this another wife opportunity?
This is yes. All of my travel is based on my wife's
burgeoning career.
Yes. She's... It was quite an offer. We're waiting to see what happens. But we think we want to stay here in New York. But that's mainly because of the impending hurricane.
And the urine-soaked streets.
Oh, right. I should do my urine-soaked streets things.
Yeah. So let me set this. Let me set that up. You know, so, okay, no. So I was saying earlier before the technical difficulties, you mentioned that you were excited. One of the few people on the Eastern Seaboard who was excited for the hurricane.
I'm the guy. I've never been in one. I've been in tons of earthquakes in Los Angeles, which are super fun. And, you know, unless, of course, you get damaged by them, of course, it's terrible. But, like, the Northridge earthquake, man, I was in a basement suite apartment for that. Yeah. So while I was standing out in the street in a robe, everyone else got dressed and came out into the street. First of all, you really shouldn't go out into the street because there's wires and whatever. But everyone just does. Anyway, but I was like, well, I'm the bottom of the pancake if this building goes down. Right. So I'm getting out of my basement suite. Look, it was terrifying, but at the same time, pretty fun, right? Everyone gets to talk about it, something to bond over. I met neighbors I had been living next to for a year and had never met. It's great.
It's a bonding experience.
With the hurricane, right? Like, I've been in some bad rain, but like a hurricane. And look, I don't have to commute, so no biggie for me. Second thing, and here's the joke. Here's the best joke that we did from earlier. There's a good chance this hurricane could be just what New York City needs to clean all the urine off of the sidewalks. Because there's urine everywhere. And, you know, one rainstorm doesn't really do the trick. It actually kind of just kicks it up into the air a little bit. So it kind of like smells like rain and urine. And I was saying, it's a little bit like Los Angeles, where like the first rain comes and the oil comes up out of the asphalt and the road is more slippery and you have to give it a few hours. New York's exactly like that, but with urine.
But you don't want to step outside during a hurricane when the urine's cleansing is going on.
No. We'll order delivery food for sure. Right. Like we'll let the delivery guy deal with the urine and the hurricane and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you might have issues of the wind sweeping the water up, you know, the mist and water up off the road, and you might get particulate urine.
Yes, urine particulate does become airborne during the first storm. And so a hurricane would just whip all that up. But then think about it. Then it's just all gone out to sea, you know, or, you know, plastered on the side of buildings forever, whatever. I don't know the science of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides, I guess, to living in the big city. And we've talked numerous times on this for all you longtime listeners about the aroma, the aromatic essence of New York City in August, September, when it's the hottest.
Yeah. Which was a week ago.
Right,
and
you
of
mentioned.
Course, now, in the day after tomorrow, the sequel,
right?
It's now 65 degrees and rainy.
So you had 100-degree weather last week.
Yeah. Like, we've been trying to go out of town for the last 3 weeks, but it's just like, it's either raining or just horribly hot. Yeah. I'm like, what are you going to do? You're going to go to out of town and just sit in a hotel room? Like, I can do that here in my apartment.
Right. And just look out the window at the level of...
I can put posters up on my wall and be like, oh, wow, look at this scenic view.
Yeah. When that humidity kind of compresses all of the air pollution down on top of you. You can see it.
Is that science or is that how it feels?
I think it feels that way. I don't know about science. Okay. I'm making shit up as I go.
Well, this is a baseball podcast after all.
Yes, it is. So,
How much war does the humidity in New York have? How much war does the urine have?
Right.
Because I'm telling you, the urine is winning that war.
Are there advanced metrics for hurricanes?
I thought you were going to say, is there advanced metrics for urine?
No.
I'm going to tell you, there is.
There is, and it's called porn.
What?
And it's called porn.
So now we're talking about golden showers?
I think.
Where's
Trump,
American Patriot?
Trump, let's get...
Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels, John!
Perfect.
Storm! Hurricane Daniels!
Hurricane Stormy. Why isn't there that? We may get to the S's eventually. Okay, let's get into some baseball. We have been completely disrupted by hurricanes and technical difficulties, so we're all over the place this morning. We are going to talk about baseball.
Let's do it.
So let's get into this week's headlines. So the first thing we got on our list here, and I think we had mentioned this a little bit earlier, that we missed a week. So we have some, I don't want to say stale, but a little... news that is worthy of conversation, but, you know, several days old. So we had some big trade action at the August 31st deadline.
maybe some of the biggest names ever traded at the August 31st deadline.
Yeah, yeah. And some that really PO'd some teams, too.
Right, so McCutchen goes to the Yankees, which was a good pickup for the Yankees, right? Because mm-hmm. they're having all those problems fielding a full team with their injuries. And, boy, their offense has just gone in the toilet. Have you yeah. seen Stanton's numbers? He's batting like 100 for the last 3 weeks.
So he went from crappy in the first month to, like he usually does, July, August is his electric time frame. And usually he carries on through September, but not this time around.
And
But he's been injured, too. So he had the hamstring issue and... Yeah, they need a full season out of all their players in order to contend with the juggernaut of the Red Sox.
That's right. But I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to – I mean, they'll get in the playoffs and they have – you know, once you get in the playoffs, hell, anyone can win.
Right.
And I think they're not – they don't have to worry about not getting in the playoffs. But the offense has just been – like it used to be like if you had – in fantasy baseball, if you had a starting pitcher going against the Yankees, you're like, you cannot start him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now it's kind of like, eh. He's a good pitcher. Right. He's good enough to be on your team. He's good enough to start against the Yankees.
But there's still 2 weeks left in this, 2.5 weeks left in the season to turn it all around.
I hope they get it going because I want to see.
I want to see great baseball.
Yeah. I want to see great baseball. That's
well, the Yankees and the Red Sox would play in the second round, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would prefer to see it for the AL championship, but it'll be in the second round after the wild card.
Right.
So some other names. Ryan Madsen, Josh Donaldson, Gio Gonzalez all traded at the deadline.
Right. So Madsen went over to the Dodgers. Gio Gonzalez traded to the Brewers. And I think they also got Granderson in that at that time.
The Brewers were super active.
Yeah.
They got a whole bunch of players.
Not sure those players were actually considered good.
No. But it's just filling space.
Yeah. Gio's first start was really good. Yeah. But he was against the Giants. So it's.
They've got Gio Gonzalez, Wade Miley. It just screams competitive October baseball, doesn't it?
It's odd, right? But you know what? Maybe it's enough to get...
It's enough.
I don't know.
They've been playing well. They're only a game out. They beat the Cubs last night. So it's going to be an exciting run down to the wire here.
The Matheny-less, and that's a new word now, Matheny-less. That's when a person... thing or organization had something that was destructive to itself removed. You say that thing is now Matheny-less.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, do you see that that construction company is really doing well? Yeah, they fired the foreman who used to drink on the job, so they're now Matheny-less.
Right. New word, folks. Yeah. Write that down and use it.
Yeah, and use it, please. And don't explain it to people. If they don't know, then that's their problem. And you know what? Maybe they need to become Matheny-less.
Hashtag Matheny-less.
Hashtag what's the next thing? Oh, right, Josh Donaldson, mm-hmm. right? Josh mm-hmm. Donaldson gets traded while he's injured, sort of, to the Indians from the Blue Jays and then gets activated for like a half hour, then put on the disabled list so that he fits the league rules of having been on the team.
Yeah, so he was in a minor league rehab assignment.
Before the 1st of September. Yeah, so then
I love his thinking,
now put him back on the DL, and he's too injured to play, but he was not too injured to be traded. It's all very shady. So the Red Sox and the Yankees and even the Astros are like, excuse me, that feels like cheating.
Right. So, but apparently the Astros were satisfied with the league's explanation.
Yes, exactly. What are they going to say? They can't complain about it.
Well, the bigger issue is that this made no sense to me, is that Donaldson was like, well, I don't want to go back to the Blue Jays and get injured before the deadline. So let me just kind of tiptoe to the deadline.
Yeah, so apparently flight to
right, that Cleveland, was one of the things that was flying around. I was like, wow. Wow, he got hurt on his way to Cleveland.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, some of these cab drivers, you know.
Right, yeah, roughed him up.
Yeah. Or maybe it was just the overwhelming body odor.
Could have been. Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, that's one of the benefits of the extreme humidity in New York is the cab drivers and the Uber drivers with the body odor. Wow. Mm. And you can't really roll down the window because outside is like body odor.
Right. The urine overtakes the body odor.
It's pretty great. Yeah. It's pretty great.
Not enough pine trees on the rearview mirror to help that, right?
Woof.
Okay, so next up we got Cubs and Nationals. Cubs are complaining. was it the Cubs Nationals game or the Cubs?
Yeah, they got rained out. Cubs were like, no, let's just start a late game. And the Nationals were like, nah, we're already out of it this season. We really don't want to bother.
Right.
Also, it's like in D.C., so of course they put it off to later. You know what I mean? Hello.
So the Cubs now wind up, because the makeup game is on Thursday, have to play 30 games with no days off.
Right. And also they have to figure out what to do with that Thursday game because of the hurricane. Oh. And I don't mean Stormy Daniels. I mean the actual hurricane.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to be able to play that. It's like, it's T-minus 0 hour there.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. But you know, speaking of the Cubs and the Brewers, Brewers are one game out now. You know, it's getting interesting.
Look, I don't want to crap on the Brewers because we've been kind of behind them all year and we love the story and stuff. But I just look at that team and it's just kind of like, what?
Well, the thing that's going on right now is that defies all logic is that there could be three teams from the Central Division that make the postseason. The Dodgers and Diamondbacks could be out in the current scenario. If the season ended today, topsy-turvy world of baseball, you'd have the Rockies, the Brewers, the
that's John Semple's Rockies, by the
way. I picked those Rockies in the beginning. Yeah, it is. We've talked about this in the past several weeks, the ebb and flow of baseball. And this has been the most ebbiest and flowiest of August, September's, because there are teams that are just looks like they're fading. Then they rock it back up and then they're fading. It's just been exciting. Hopefully it'll go all the way to the end of the season, because there's nothing more exciting to me than pennant fever and pennant chases. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what you do when you got pennant fever? You take a little penicillin. Am I right? Ladies and gentlemen, am I right? How much are the listeners wishing that we had lost that joke in the technical malfunction?
So we got a couple of Mariner stories here, too.
Oh, right.
So
we've got the good news and the bad news.
Right. So let's start with the good news one first. Scott Service made a bet with Edwin Diaz that if he got 50 saves, he would get his hair cut like Edwin, have the same style. And I got to admit, if you looked at the photos, he rocks it.
Yeah, he wore it well.
Yeah. So that was a bet that was made earlier in the season and fulfilled last
week. Here's the thing. Fulfilled a month before the end of the season.
Right.
Like, and he easily made the 50.
Yeah, so he has a chance to break 60. I thought about a month ago that he was on pace to break the record, which I think is 62, Rodriguez. He is slowed down a little bit. So have the Mariners. So that looks like
aren't saves a funny stat, John? I was thinking about this the other day. I had a closer for the Angels on one of my fantasy baseball teams up until a couple weeks ago. And I had him for about a month. And a save is such a specific stat, right? Like, you have to be winning by 3 runs or less in the ninth inning. And there's some other caveats to that, and there's whatever. But I had this weird thing where the Angels, every time they won, and they weren't winning a lot, but every time they won by 4 or more.
So you're getting screwed.
So I wasn't getting any saves. So he would come in and pitch, the closer would come in and pitch. But he was just ending the game. He wasn't saving the game.
Right.
And it was just a weird... And then you have another year like Frankie Rodriguez's 62 saves, where it's just like every time... Or Edwin Diaz here. Like, it's always less than 3 runs, and he comes in and he gets the outs. Yeah.
In the early part of the season, the Mariners were winning a lot of one-run ball games. So he had a ton of save opportunities in the first 2 months of the season. So that kind of came back to the mean... did the Mariners. And so much, they came back to the mean so much that there was a little bit of a tussle in the clubhouse last week.
Yes. Things got very mean.
They did. And so mean that D. Gordon removed all of the reporters from the clubhouse. All the press was asked to leave. He closed the door and then got into a fight.
Premeditated.
Yeah, and got into a fight with Gene Segura.
Yeah.
Who was making fun of his boneheaded error in the outfield earlier in the game the night before.
Yeah.
But all
was
restored.
When things are falling apart, things start falling apart. You know what I mean? Like, wheels start coming off the cart. The cart falls apart. Cart crashes.
Yeah. The All-Star
D. Gordon
break.
Gene Segura start fighting with each other. Like, two little guys, too. Like, you know, well, all these monster dudes like Nelson Cruz. Yeah. Yeah, and like, they're just like standing around like.
I'm sure that was broken up pretty quickly by the big boys in the room.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Or maybe it wasn't. No, I think it spilled out into the hallway, right? Like, didn't it?
Yeah, that's Mike Zanino was pulling them apart and, you know, everybody. But they really played it off the right way. It's like, hey, this stuff happens. And
hey, it's guys, you know, testosterone. Some have more than others, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink, Nelson Cruz. I'm just saying.
Okay, so let's move on to we're talking about closers and
wait a minute. Also, D. Gordon with the roid rage. Wait a minute, hold on a second. Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, true. Yeah, D was out.
D. Gordon suspended. Busted for roids. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off there, but I had to make the point.
That was good. No, okay. I was worthy of inclusion.
Oh. Okay.
As are all people in all races, and all sexual preferences.
Wow. Whoa, jeez. Okay, buddy.
So, speaking of closers, Dellin Betances, closer by default for the Yankees, who has had...
Currently the closer,
who has had up and down. You know, we're getting this part of the season where he doesn't do well.
No, he started off really bad. Like, he was having
trouble
with walks.
Well, it was a hangover from last
year,
right? Because he was so bad in the playoffs.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. And then all of a sudden, he just stopped allowing base runners, started striking everybody out, like two strikeouts an inning. And he's been awesome. And now he's got, in the first time in history, a reliever has had five consecutive seasons with 100 strikeouts. First of all, I find it hard to believe that that has never happened before. But yeah, he, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, five consecutive seasons. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And Josh Hader, I think, has like 130 in 78 innings, something like that. He struck out six consecutive Cubs last night in the seventh and eighth innings. Or
he's
six
a monster.
And seventh, yeah. Yeah, he's one that got away from the Pike Street fishmongers.
Yeah, John.
Stupidly.
You know what, though? You look at your team, though. You're pretty stacked,
I'm
I think.
Good.
You're in a
good
situation.
Good situation. I'll be a contender in a couple years.
Plus, you and I might have to do a trade. I have some keepers I can't keep that are definitely keepers. So we'll have to work that out.
Yeah, so the last trade I did with you didn't work out too well for me, at least delayed.
You mean the trade that worked out really great for me that didn't actually work out great for me? The Ozzy Albies crash, who's been wrecking my stats since I got him?
But the Michael Kopech part of the deal for me.
Oh, Michael Kopech, yeah.
I kind of I was sitting there going, like, trade. I'm going to call the league offices to find out what Jed knew. Was he aware? Was the system aware?
It looked
aware?
Like he went straight to the major leagues and was like one of those guys who was like, no, this is where I should have been.
Right.
And he looked awesome.
Yeah. Until
then,
he didn't.
Until
he
didn't.
Seven runs.
And now he's out for a year and won't be back till 2020.
Yeah, when your fastball drops 7 miles per hour in the middle of the game, something's up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was a little bit...
So that was like the centerpiece of that trade that we did was the Kopech.
Yeah.
The other guys were like, we'll see, maybe that's...
But we'll, you know, I'm fine with that. A lot of times people come back even stronger, although I can't imagine someone, you know, throwing harder than 103, 104.
Right.
Allegedly 105.
Right.
So we'll, you know, we'll see how that that turns out. But Urias returns from his TG. He had Tommy John, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's back.
He
was the phenom 2 years ago that everybody was talking about.
Yeah, he's still a prospect. He still counts as a. He hasn't broken his
maidenhead.
The rookie barrier.
Yeah. So he's back and just in time for the Dodgers to hopefully pull everything together and make the postseason, which is up in the air right now, which is hard to believe, but
it's so weird. Like every time they put together a run, then they just crap the bed against the Reds.
So another Tommy John surgery that we kind of, I don't want to say we called it, but we knew this one was definitely going to happen, is with Shohei Ohtani, you know, rushing him back from his injury, and he pitches. There was no reason for him to pitch again, other than the fact that he wanted to, which doesn't always bode well. when the player wins out on a decision. But I think there was probably more than that. But they just wanted to see, you know, where he was, and where he was wound up being. He's a Tommy John candidate now. So, but he doesn't want to get it. He wants to finish out the season, which creates a little bit of a dilemma. Well, he
hit two home runs. As soon as he gave him the news, he hit two home runs the next game.
Right. And he's hit, I think, three or four since that he was told about it. So he's like on a mission to win the Rookie of the Year, and he wants to finish out the season.
Yeah.
Which jeopardizes, you know, part of the following season if he waits all the way. So he may not, if he said he wants to come back as both pitcher hitter, which he's proven that he can do.
I mean, this guy gets told he needs Tommy John surgery, goes out, hits two home runs. What if we told him he had, like, colon cancer? Then what?
Three home runs. It's for the cycle.
Right? Sorry, you've got malaria. Boom! Four home runs.
Right. So probably the biggest news that has happened in the National League this year is Jacob DeGrom's epic season, but nobody's talking about it because he's 8-8. And he's on the Mets, the dumpster fire of the
I mean, NL East. I think it's more that he's on the Mets than the 8-8 thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like now, like ever since Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young with whatever it was, 12 or 13 wins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It changed the game.
6 or 7 years ago, people kind of know that the win-loss record doesn't really matter. It's just that the Mets have been so bad.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just like people can't even believe that Jacob DeGrom could be doing well on that team.
Yeah, he tied a record. He's become with the 25th straight start allowing three or fewer runs. There's only two people in the history of baseball that have done that, and the other one was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was, but it's an old, old record.
Yeah, and I think he goes again today, right? And
he had his last start rained out, so
you've got to assume there's going to be three or fewer runs there. Also, in five of these games, by the way, he has gotten the RBI of the game.
Right. He should. I think you posited that he should hit, pitch, field, do everything.
Yeah, like, I don't know. This is another team where it's like, it doesn't seem like it's that bad, but it just is that bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a lot of, you know, players that aren't really gelling. And, like, I'm all for the numbers. You know me. I love the numbers. But I also have played, and I know that there is, like, camaraderie and there is team, you know, blah, 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 that stuff. The, you know, people feeding off of each other's energy and stuff like that. And it's just the team has been such a mess all season.
Well, this is a capsule of their entire season. When the two stories that are bigger than DeGrom have been the dumpster fire, one, and the Todd Father's rubber ball trick. Those are the two biggest stories of the season.
Todd Frazier, like, falling into the stands. Like, what a great catch. And then, like, let me ask you this. Okay, so let's set the story. So for everyone who doesn't know, so Todd Frazier caught a foul ball at Dodger Stadium, fell into the stands, dropped the ball, picked up a nearby ball that turned out to be a fake rubber ball that a fan had.
And sold it.
And then the play was called out because the umpire didn't see that he had dropped the ball. And he didn't see that he had swapped it out for a rubber ball and didn't see that the new ball was now a rubber ball. And he got away with this. And let me ask you this, John. Would you do that? I feel like this is bad sportsmanship. And I'm like all for if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Like, that just feels like actual bad sportsmanship.
Well, here's where I think where I would say that I just think that's creativity in the moment versus premeditated. If he had planted a rubber ball there at the chance that he might get it, then I would have a bigger issue with it.
The ball fell out of his glove. He grabbed the nearest ball he could find and stuck it into his glove as he lay on the ground.
In a matter of microseconds, which makes it all the more, I think, ingenious. As a Dodger fan, I could see why it would be.
I'm not even looking at this as a Dodger fan. I'm just like, I feel like that's cheating.
I have a bigger issue with
actual cheating.
Sandpaper and gels and foreign substances on the neck and all that other stuff, because that's premeditated.
See, that's where we differ, because I feel like that stuff's part of the game that everyone can do and they choose to do it or not do it. But the guy dropped the ball.
Well, my response would be
if you trap a ball in the outfield, right? Well, and the umpire trap ball is when it actually it looks like a catch, but it actually bounced before it goes in the glove. If you trap a ball in the outfield and the umpire calls it out, you take that. But if you drop it, and then put it back in. I just that to me is just over the line. Because also it's like you're the Mets. You're not playing for anything. So like this guy has to live with this the rest of his life. This is a transgression against the sport of baseball, John. This guy who's hitting 220, by the way, robbing the Mets blind.
Right. That's the bigger issue there.
Remember how good he was with the Reds for a couple years? Mm-hmm. Homers, stolen bases, decent batting average, good on base.
Was okay with the Yankees last year, too.
Yeah. He's just like, nah, not anymore.
Nah. I'm getting the money. I'm sitting back, coasting.
Yeah. Or something. I don't know.
So we seem to be talking about Kenley Jansen more than any other player this season. You know, we have mentioned his name, I would guess, in 50% of the episodes that we've done this
right,
year.
Right, because he's had maybe one of the weirdest season in, I mean, it's awful.
Yeah.
And amazing. And then, like, it was awful, and then it was like, well, he's just a bad player now. Let's see what happens. And then, oh, now he's a dominant player. Maybe not absolutely dominant. Like, it's not like he was striking out people like he was before, but he was very good. And then all of a sudden, these heart issues flare up, and it's like, oh, boy. First of all, last time his heart issues flared up, it was in Colorado. And my thought was like, why is this guy freaking going to Colorado? There's no oxygen there. Right.
Therefore, he's skipping Colorado or did skip.
He skipped the last trip. And if I were him, I would just never go to Colorado. Playoff games, doesn't matter.
Right. So that could be a downside for the...
You can't live without your heart, man.
Right, no, that's important.
You can live without one of your kidneys. You can lose half your liver and still make a go.
Right.
You can lose like 200 yards of intestines. I don't know if that's the right number. But you can lose...
You lose a few yards, yeah.
You can use a few yards of your intestines, or maybe feet, right? You can lose feet of your intestines. Still, boom, you can lose a leg and still keep going in life. But if you lose your heart, I think we all know from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, that's the end.
All right. So it's best that the precautions...
Cover your heart, Indy! Cover your heart!
Is that racist?
That's Short Round.
I know.
Is it racist for me to imitate... Cover your heart, Indy? Do you remember when Short Round, Asian boy said, Cover your heart, Indy! Cover your heart!
Oh, I have people I know that would say that's triggering whenever you do accents, and I'm like...
But I'm not doing it in an accent to mock them. It's not. I'm not like Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
What does he say in Breakfast
at Tiffany's? Wait, I'm sorry. You don't know his Asian
I've never seen
character?
It.
Oh, my Lord. It is the most... I mean, it is like black. It is the blackface of Asian.
Oh, wow.
It is so horrifyingly racist.
Ooh.
Like, it's so horrifying. It's not even like funny, like, oh, okay, well, this is really bad. Like, no, it's just like, how have they not digitally removed this from this film?
I'll have to look that up.
Check it out. It's awful. I mean, again, those are from that time and blah, blah, blah. It shouldn't actually be censored or anything like that. But wow. And to go from that to rich Asians, crazy rich Asians, which is like breaking all kinds of box office.
Yeah.
Like, good, you know, but wow.
Good for the Asians.
Yeah. Good for the Asians, man.
They deserve it.
Woof.
Speaking of wow, Trevor Story hits the longest StatCast era home run at 505 feet.
I'm going to tell you what. There's no player that's surprised me more than Trevor Story.
Mm-hmm.
He, 2 years ago, you remember, he burst onto the scene. He's hitting tons of home runs or whatever. Then he started striking out. And I thought, last year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go all in on this guy in my fantasy baseball leagues. And I got him in as many places as I could. And he was terrible. He couldn't stop striking out. He wasn't stealing bases, and he certainly wasn't hitting enough home runs
to
be worth
it.
Whatever. And it was certainly not worth where I was drafting him or how much I was paying him. Not that I was paying him personally, people. I understand it's just a game, whatever. But when you make money off of it like I do, it kind of matters. This year, he's been like the fifth best player in baseball.
And do you have him on any of your teams?
And I do not, because I was like, I like him, but I was burned so bad, John.
Right.
The scars were still there. The wounds had not healed fully. And here he is, like, doing everything I thought he was going to do last year. But isn't that always the way? Right?
It is. Yeah. You never know. Ryan Howard officially announces his retirement after not playing for two seasons. So yes. That gives you a little indication as to the value of Ryan Howard. But wow, what a run he had in the early or the mid 2000s.
Yeah, and then Ed Wade gave him another contract extension.
Yeah, a big one. That was probably will go down in history as one of the worst contracts.
I was trying to do like a joke, like he announced his retirement and then Ed Wade gave him another contract.
Another contract extension. Yeah. Did he sign a 1-day deal to retire as a Philly, or was he still in the
one day for 30? Did he blow out his knee on the way to the retirement? His Achilles?
Oh man.
Before the contract kicked in.
Yeah, brutal.
He was one of those guys where it was like the great numbers, like traditional numbers, but the actual statistics, the actual like underlying numbers were all bad.
Yeah.
The strikeout rate, the wins above replacement, all this stuff was just like, oof. The on-base percentage.
When he came on board in, was it 2004-ish, I think, he was right at the beginning of the advanced metrics movement.
Right.
So people were still in love with home runs, RBIs, you know.
Around the time he got his big contract extension was when the shift had already started.
And people were like, what are
you doing with this? And he, like, you don't even need to give him a contract extension. He's with your team for another year. He's a big dude. Like, let's see how this goes.
Right.
And also, let's remember that the Phillies are the team that signed Jim Thome and delayed Howard coming up for a year because they didn't have a DH. They certainly couldn't put one of those guys in the outfield.
Right.
That was the other weird thing about the Jim Thome signing was, what?
Yeah, why would you do that with a prospect?
Could have been Cleveland hero.
Just wanted another year of control over Howard. And he came up when Jim he was, Thome? What, 24, 25, Howard? He was.
Yeah, I think it was like 25, yeah. But he could have come up when he was 24.
Right. Could have got another year of productivity out of him.
Or something.
That would have made that long-term extension a little bit more palatable if he had another full year. I don't know. Yeah. So, let's move on. Enough about Ryan Howard.
You just cut that whole section out. I don't care.
Alex Rodriguez, I know nothing about this. So he lost a bet, a Yankees-Red Sox bet? What happened?
Alex Rodriguez, in his never-ending attempt to not be a total creepazoid and weird people out at all times, did a bet with Mark Wahlberg about a Yankees-Red Sox matchup earlier in the year where the Red Sox swept the Yankees. And I don't know what the exact nature of the bet was, but the winner or the loser, if it was Alex Rodriguez, needed to work at Wahlburgers, flipping burgers or whatever. That was sort of like the bet. Like the loser, I don't know what Mark Wahlberg had to do, like clean Alex Rodriguez's mirrors.
I was thinking the same thing.
Take his Centaur out for a ride. I don't know. I don't know what the other end of the bet was.
Right. So Alex fulfilled his end of the deal and worked at Wahlberg.
And it's great because Alex Rodriguez is dating Jennifer Lopez, so he has a lot of experience flipping buns.
Ba-dum-bum. So this story, this one is a little bit of an unusual one. Props, I guess, for
maybe
going
my
this
favorite story of the year.
Yeah. So maybe. The Orioles wore Braille jerseys recently to honor the blind.
Yeah. Braille jerseys.
Because there's fans out on the field?
To honor the blind. Look, if you want to honor the blind, you put speakers on every player that constantly announces their numbers.
That's true.
Like, it's built into the jersey. It says 24, 24, 24. It's like the little crosswalk things, right?
Right. Constant communication. Right.
What are the fans going to come out and feel up all the players? That doesn't even make any sense.
So it was the uniform, the name.
Yeah, the uniforms
the front
had Braille jersey. Where it had Braille on it.
So just
like I don't understand this. So like it's like, oh right, it's really to honor blind people. Really, it's to remind non-blind people that blind people exist and that they have this secret language where they're able to communicate to each other and no one knows what they're saying as they're plotting their overthrow of the government. Also, I'd like to hear a seventh inning stretch song in honor of deaf people.
Yeah, now that would be. Yeah, how do you do that? How do you honor the deaf at a baseball game?
Well, it would normally be visually, but in this context, clearly the thing to do is to present an audio.
Yes, no, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, visual.
And I don't know what else is there. There's mutes. I don't know how you honor the mutes. Maybe you give them the umpires would be like, yes, please.
That would be a very quiet game if you had a stadium full of mutes.
And to honor the people who have no taste, you just feed them stadium food.
Okay, let's.
They're the real winners.
Let's move on to the starting nine.
Oh right, starting nine.
Starting nine in honor of legendary box office bonanza actor Burt Reynolds.
One of the all-time greats, man.
Yeah, he was across multiple genres and multiple world-loved Burt Reynolds. Everybody, yeah. I mean, he was just one of those magnetic actors.
Yeah.
He had a very, very long career.
Personality plus, good actor. Everyone loved him. Had a disappeared at a certain point. Maybe Cop and a Half was... not the right move. Then kind of came back with a resurgence.
Few misses along the way. Yeah. Went for the money grab there for a little bit as the action, kind of like the Bruce Willis model a little bit.
No, but he actually disappeared. Not disappeared. Like
yeah, the late 80s. He was gone.
No one wants him anymore. And then right. Boogie Nights resuscitated him, and he was
kind of like the Travolta thing. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, very much like the Travolta thing. Yeah,
and he became relevant again. Got nominated for an Oscar, nothing major, but he had a great run in the late 70s, early 80s of comedies. Dom DeLuise, kind of his sidekick. The End was one of my favorite Burt Reynolds movies, dark comedy about suicide, which is just full of laughs.
But, yeah, hilarious, John.
But it was a great movie, really funny movie. So you've got nine players with Burt movie names.
That's right. So we're taking, and I'm trying to do this in sort of sequence of my favorite Burt Reynolds movies.
Okay.
So a little bit of thought went into this. Now, the first three I've never seen. I didn't try to avoid them. I just haven't seen them.
Okay.
So they're just presented without comment. Sharky's Machine Soo Choo.
He's back.
Sharky's Machine.
That's good.
Then Marcus Strokerman Ace.
There you go.
Stroker Ace. We got another Marcus here. Marcus Semi-Tough.
Oh, good.
Semi-Tough.
Yeah.
Semi-Tough. I don't know. Depends on what part of the country you're in. The Best Sean Doolittle Whorehouse in Texas.
Great.
The Longest Ryan Yardbro.
Good. Yeah.
Longest Yard. Pedro Strope Tease. Not a leading performance, but a very, very funny supporting comedic performance.
Yeah, especially the Vaseline scene.
Yes. Literally the only good thing about that movie.
Yeah, it's dripping down in my boots. Feels good.
Yeah. Pretty spectacular role there.
Yeah.
Smokey and the Brad Handit.
Good.
The Robinson Cano Nunball Run.
Okay.
And then my two favorite Burt Reynolds, Xander Bogartsy Knights.
Okay.
And Ender Deliverance-Arte.
Very good. Deliverance
Boogie
is a
Nights
classic.
And Deliverance. Yeah, it's great.
Absolute classic movie.
Not a comedy, but he's a badass in it. Yeah. And it's actually a great film. Everyone references the dueling banjos and the hillbillies, but it's actually and the squeal like a pig. But it's a really great film.
Yeah, really, really good. Really good. Buddy film, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Buddies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Burt Reynolds, rest in peace. And we will move on to extra innings after a moment of silence. There's your moment.
Wait. Okay.
extra innings. Let's take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball. So the biggest news in the world, apparently, is that the NFL season got underway.
Right. Are you into it? What's going on? Who are you rooting for this year? I'm rooting for my Patriots, of course, and they won against the Texans.
Well,
solid.
I was working last night, and I because we don't have television, I have to look for ways to connect to the sports world. And you're going to love this. I listened to golf on the radio on Monday. Wow. Because of the rain out, and pushed that over just to follow along to see what was going on. But it's on in the background. But last night I listened to see how my Raiders were going to do, and they looked pretty decent in the first half and then laid a huge egg in the second half. Awful, awful, awful game.
And that was against the Chargers?
The Rams.
Rams. Okay, so this was the Oakland, not Los Angeles Raiders versus the Los Angeles, not St. Louis Rams?
Correct.
Okay.
But yeah, the Jared Goff-led Rams offense looked horrible in the first half and was absolutely outstanding in the second half. So Raiders defense, therefore, looked good in the first half and absolutely awful in the second half.
So they traded Mac, right? The Raiders traded
Mac. That it's going to be something that will – the only way that they can ever get out from under that cloud is if their two number one picks in the upcoming two seasons deliver big. That's the only way, because he had a monster game against the Packers on Sunday night, even though the Bears blew a 20-0 lead. That was, didn't get a chance to see any of this, but just based, I had a feeling. I saw that the score was like, I think it was 17-0.
Yeah.
And I said, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
I just know it. And then the next morning when I woke up and I saw it, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Aaron Rodgers, freaking Aaron Rodgers. He had the comeback.
He's great, man.
Yeah. So yeah,
great player. Now he's playing better without having Olivia Munn wreck his life.
But the Jets too last night. Matt Patricia.
Yeah, how about the Jets?
You know, the defensive whiz kid takes on the helm of the Lions, and the Lions defense was awful.
Yeah.
Actually, well, all
just
phases.
Take it over and be great. Like, no, it takes a while.
And he said that too going in, that it was going to be a work in progress. But then I saw something briefly this morning that the Jets said they knew the plays that the Lions were running. How's that?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know anything.
I don't know.
About.
Ask the Patriots how they've. That's a joke. Obviously, that's a scam. Did they deflate all the balls?
So the other, I don't know if it's big news. It's turning into a bigger story than I thought it would. And it's, to me, what has become the story is the discrimination element. And this, we're talking about the U.S. Open women's final.
The Serena Williams meltdown.
And you know, it's a discrimination thing. And we're taking away from the first Japanese woman to ever win a Grand Slam title's moment of glory.
Right. Which isn't discriminatory at all, because as you know, in the current like culture of whatever, Asians are actually, because they do so well in American society, they're actually not really considered separate from whites.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I mean,
they are, right? They're definitely a separate race and so forth. But because they do so well, they actually make more money than whites, and they do better, get it better, have better college, blah, 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 blah. But because they do so well, it's sort of like, yeah, they're not, if they're discriminated against, it's not as big a deal as if it's an African American.
But I do get I completely understand the point that was being made, is that, you know, she got called a game violation for calling the umpire a thief.
But did you watch the clip?
I did not.
Because here's the thing. First of all, she was coached from the stands, which is against the rules. Right.
But every player does it. Every coach.
Every player does it. And if you get caught doing it, then you get caught doing it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So that happened. So you get a warning. That's it. Just a warning. No minus anything. Then she breaks her racket, which you're not allowed to do. Now, mind you, this is all in the second set when she got hosed. She got smoked by this other gal, Osaka.
Yeah. In the first set, 6-2.
In the first set. Yeah. Like she got smoked. Like that 6-2 against Serena Williams. That's smoked. That's not a, you know, obviously not 6-love, but still, it's still 6-2. Okay. So she's getting frustrated against basically an inferior base kind of opponent, but not really that inferior. But, you know, like Serena's a superstar. She's the greatest female tennis player of all time.
Right.
So she breaks her racket. Well, you break your racket, that's another
violation.
It's a violation. And so then you lose a point. Or not lose a point, you get, the other person gets
a point. Right.
Gets a point within a game, right? So it's not a full game. The person isn't given a full game. It's just 1 point. And it was on her serve as well, on Atsuka Asaka's serve. So it's not like, it wasn't like, oh, now I'm whatever. Like, please. Okay. You're already losing. So then she flips out a couple of times and doesn't just say she's a thief. She's like on a tirade about how I never cheat. And by the way, she had just cheated. Whether she was a willing participant or not, she had just cheated. And it's like, I have a daughter, and this is, you owe me an apology. And she went on, and then said, you're a thief. And the guy's like, look, you can't do this to a judge. You can't do this to the referee. I'm sorry. That's a full game.
Well, I think, and I agree that that's the rules of the game, but it's not enforced equally across the board, because there are plenty of male players who, when they go off, get so much leniency. And I think if it was any other player, because Serena has a tendency to be a little grouchy, especially at the U.S. Open for whatever reason. She's had a couple meltdowns over the last 3 or 4 years there. There's just a little bit of a double standard in that the men get away with a lot more. Just look at any John McEnroe clip to see that.
Here's the thing. Maybe the men, and I don't mean this is in all sexes, are better at controlling their situation than that, right? Because in the U.S. Open, there were almost 3 times as many violations issued to men as to women.
Yeah, okay.
But if you lose your mind on the court, like, where's the other video clips of men losing their minds on the court? I didn't see any clips.
Well, not.
Don't tell me. I'm talking about this year. I'm not talking about John McEnroe, who, by the way, was forced to give up a match because of his behavior many years ago. So let's not say that, oh, it's different for women. Like, no, if you lose your mind,
you should suffer the consequences.
You suffer the consequences. And like, if you want to do like a whole thing and then say, I'm standing up for women's rights, yeah, fine.
But then you have to do that. But the bigger issue for me, though, was
it's not baseball where you get to yell stuff and fight and blah, 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 blah. It's tennis, man.
Except for Davis Cup. And then Davis Cup, it's like a rugby match.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, Davis Cup is, the fans never stop yelling and screaming.
I didn't know
that. You probably enjoy Davis Cup tennis.
Well, I used to be a very big tennis fan, but I literally have never watched the Davis Cup.
Yeah, it's always a host country, you know. So
are they doing the Tour de France thing where they're like spraying people with pepper spray as they go by and stuff?
It's very much like that. I'm into it. It's raucous, to say the least.
Sometimes the tennis balls explode.
National competition. Yeah, it's pretty competitive. Yeah, especially in the South American countries.
Oh, okay.
That's where they get really, really, really heated.
Yeah.
So, I just felt bad for Osaka that when the trophy presentation was going on, fans were booing, and her initial reaction was that they were booing her because she prevented Williams from winning another championship. And they were booing the umpire, which, you know. And to be fair,
the umpire is a jerk.
Yeah, a little bit.
I want to give both sides. That umpire is a jerk, and he's a known jerk.
Oh, on top of that.
You enforce the rules, you enforce the rules. If you have an umpire that enforces the rules, like I've played competitive sports. You know the certain umpires you can get away with stuff, or referees, they'll let you whatever. And then other guys are like, if you look at me weird, that's it. You're out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm like, all right, good. So we'll just know that. And she's been umpired by this guy before. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Don't break your racket. Also, don't lose.
That's probably part of it, you know, is that she was very frustrated and it just came out. And both of the Williams sisters have a tendency to be very emotional when they play. And understand.
No, and I love it. I love the emotion. I think it's a great part of sport, and I'm glad that there are players that introduce that into tennis. I think that's what's wrong with men's tennis these days, is there isn't enough of that.
Right.
And it's just like, here's 150 mile an hour serve.
Right. We need to have more moving targets and nails and wind.
Yeah. Pepper spray. Come on.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So this one's all yours, man. I have no idea what this is. Nicki Minaj gets into a fight with Cardi B. I don't even know what a Cardi B is. Is that a person?
Okay, so these are two different humans. I just like hearing you say the words, first of all. These are two different humans. They're celebrities of some talent, but we won't say for what specifically. But they got into a fight in Fashion Week here in New York.
Oof.
And it was quite a kerfuffle. So then on Twitter, you had Team Minaj, Team Cardi B, It was really epic. And of course, a week later, everyone's sort of chilling out and like, oh, you know, maybe that was a little out of hand.
Did they do that for career boosts? Is it a PR thing?
I don't know. You always have to assume that with these guys that are like, they're not, I mean, fringy. I don't want to say they're not talented, but right. where their talent lies more in their celebrity appeal.
Or their
that
assets.
When they do something that, exactly, or their assets, like maybe this is something like someone sends off a text like, hey, why don't we get into a little kerfluffle on right. the red carpet at Fashion right. Week, bar-da-bar-da-bar. I don't know why I'm trying to do kind of like a semi Sammy Davis Jr. there, but hey, guys, all right. Now it's like Sammy Davis, Edward G. Robinson. Let's just right. move on.
Well, speaking of, and this isn't on our list, but did you the big news about Project Runway?
No.
Did you hear about that?
I don't know the big news about Project Runway, John.
Heidi and Tim are leaving the show.
Oh, no. Yeah. Is this because of Trump?
No. They got some sort of a deal, I think, with Amazon or Netflix. They're going to be developing a new show. So the show will go on, but without the two of them.
Oh, all right.
After 16 seasons, if you can believe
16?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. Last story. Gwyneth
More like
Paltrow.
Project Runaway, am I right?
Last story. Gwyneth.
Guys, don't worry. It's almost over.
Last story. Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop agrees to pay a settlement over unscientific health claims about vaginal eggs.
Right. Yeah. So this is the best thing. This Goop website is amazing, right? So obviously it's like Gwyneth Paltrow is like in all these alternative blah, blah, blah. And some of them are, you know, legitimate. And some of them, which involves like putting stuff inside your womanhood to help heal and like... Why would you even, as a famous person, why would you even think of putting this on your website? But anyway, she did. And the funny thing is, like, I always like this thing is pay settlement, right? So pay settlement basically means some lawyer decided to file a class action lawsuit against this thing. So some lawyer went and found people that had put vaginal eggs inside their vaginal and then gets a group of them together. That's the class.
Right.
There's a class action lawsuit against Gwyneth Paltrow. And then like, jeez.
It makes you wonder if it is Goop more of a Gwyneth Paltrow as the figurehead on top of the pyramid, or does she actually get involved with content and recommendations and stuff like that?
I don't know if she has personally vaginalized any eggs, but
I'm thinking she has.
But you know what? It's the site is her site.
Mm-hmm.
She probably has people running it for her. Come on. All famous people just have people running stuff for them. But this had to be, right? Like, she has to have approved this. Like, you can't just put anything. If you can put eggs in your vaginas, you can probably put a vaginal egg on your website, right?
Right, yeah. So I wonder if those are still available on the Goop website.
Probably not.
So what's coming up next?
You're not going to believe what she wants you to do with a baseball on the next episode of The Gwyneth Paltrow Show.